Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Schmidt, baby Tausch, back, locked and loaded. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer as well. Anthony Mandela here with you, 414-799-1250. We got Summerfest tickets to give away later on in the show. We're going to hear from Michael Silver coming up here to start out the program. Michael Silver of NFL.com and NFL Network. Yesterday, you guys had to have talked a bunch about that story, him debating and conversating about a lot of things. Gary, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, last week. Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, how are they going to get this offense to coexist? And you get a national dude like Michael Silver to open up the doors. And how were the reactions yesterday that you guys got from Packers fans on the story?
You want me to keep it 100?
Yeah.
I think Packer fans think that we're making this stuff up, and they're probably tired of hearing about it. I'm keeping it straight 100. And they just probably want to see Rodgers get on the field and just do his thing.
Sure.
Or they really don't believe what's being written, and we got something against Rodgers and people just writing his term. I mean, because all this stuff goes back to really Tyler Dunn, right? He's the one that opened the whole can of worms. And then
with this 36-page documentary of what was
dossier,
going on.
Yeah. You like that word, Leroy?
Yeah, I like
dossier.
That.
Dossier. Yeah. And then from it just kind of been just little, and Mike Silver now is wrote in his column, and it's
Roten.
And it's nothing. The Tyler Dunn and Mike Silver article are like but not alike. It's just let you on the inside a little bit more of Aaron Rodgers and who he really is.
And joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show, writes for NFL.com and NFL Network, Michael Silver, joining us here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Michael, appreciate the time as always. Your conversations with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, first off, what was your first feelings of if Matt LaFleur and how he's settling into his new position as head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Well, he's settling in while riding on a scooter, which is not ideal. And, you know, I know he doesn't have to go run around and actually play the game, so it could be worse. But, you know, think about it. You're 39 years old. You finally get a shot. You want to be out there. You want to be active. You don't want to be self-conscious. I think that is a bummer for him. But he's obviously super psyched about the opportunity. He's a guy who's, you know, kind of a warrior, kind of, you know, wants to know every contingency, very detailed. So he's definitely not underthinking it. I also think he's understandably excited about working with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, some of these great offensive playmakers, just in terms of the play calling side and the head coaching thing. That can be daunting, but he's definitely appreciative of the opportunity.
Michael, I think the worry of some of us with this whole deal with Rodgers and LaFleur is that Rodgers could get himself in a position where he could steamroll LaFleur and kind of bully him into doing what he wants to do and get the freedom that McCarthy allowed him at the end of the day. Because Aaron tends to be a guy that always believes that he's the smartest guy in the room, and that might not work to LaFleur's advantage.
Well, first of all, I think he is really smart and he's really good, especially specifically at, you know, going up to the line, serving the situation and sometimes changing the play to a better play. So, I don't necessarily believe it's binary, like the player has to do what the coach wants. He's got a skill set. It's unique and it's been really effective at times. And, you know, Matt knows that. Part of the issue is just that in the offense that Matt is running, which is essentially the Kyle Shanahan offense, they don't build in audibles. It just they believe they have answers. Sometimes they'll send a quarterback up to the line and say, call one of two plays. But you're supposed to make that call based on what you see, and there's not a lot of wiggle room. Aaron's point would be, hey, that's cool. I'm pumped about this offense, but there might be a time where, based on my body of knowledge and skills, I can help. Part of the issue is mechanical. Just there's so much pre-snap going on with motion. There's so much done formationally with formation-specific personnel at times that, first of all, to deal with all that. Secondly, to get out of that, with formation-specific personnel, it doesn't always work. So you're talking about, a matter of seconds maybe that Aaron has to get accomplished what he previously had more time to do. So that's all of the, that's kind of the landscape of what they're working through. But the good news is they're both really excited about working with each other. They're well-intentioned. And, I think we're talking about, kind of some gradations of how the scheme will ultimately function.
So, Mike, here's what you did, and I thought it was a great article, and maybe you didn't know what you did, but you kind of stirred some things up a little bit in the fact that previously there was a relationship with McCarthy and Rodgers and who was calling the plays and who weren't calling the plays, and Rodgers didn't like what plays came in, and then there were some players saying that, well, Rodgers said, we're not running that play, we're going to run this play. And so you kind of stirred that up again. I don't know if you probably intentionally mean to do that. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today, when you wrote your article the other day that we saw it, is that now Rodgers want more control of the offense, want more freedom, and this offense really doesn't lend itself to being that way.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a right and wrong answer. Trust me, I talk to a lot of coaches and a lot of play callers, and there is not one of them who would not be thrilled to have this problem. And I put problem in quotes. If you told,
yes,
and I'm talking about the best guys in the world at this. If you told, pick a guy, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, hey, you're going to now coach Aaron Rodgers, but watch out because he's going to want a lot of control. They'd be like, okay, I'll do it right now. I'll take that deal. He is as revered as he is by fans in our world, with the people who actually know this stuff, he is held in exceptionally high esteem, maybe higher than any quarterback who's ever played in some way. So I don't think it's necessarily, oh my God, Aaron wants control. But I understand the trigger, and I understand what we're all reacting to, and that is that a long relationship between Mike and Aaron that, had a lot of tension and a lot of push and pull and ultimately got worse and ran its course, we're coming off of that. And so, listen, all I know is change can be good, and let's just say that, if Mike and Aaron had had enough of each other and the product on the field was now starting to suffer, Aaron would understandably be in a upbeat frame of mind to have that change. And, so I think that's what I'm getting from him. Like, I love Kyle's offense. I'm excited. Matt's really smart. He's a good dude. I'm excited to work with him. And again, for the fans, remember that this offense is ideally going to take a lot of that pressure off of Aaron and the weight of the world. He's going to have, I think, a high functioning running game that sets up play action and balance and, not only an initiative to get rid of the ball quickly, but the, hopefully open guys very early. So if all that's working the way it's supposed to, most of the time it's going to look really good and it's going to be a better reality for him. Will this one issue with the audibles just not be able to resolve itself and become a symbol of something that just won't work, or player mutiny? I don't really see it happening that way. And I think it's cool that both guys are mindful of it in June and talking about it in an intelligent way, when asked, and then, saying, hey, we have to work through this. We're going to have a bunch of conversations between now and then. So to me, that's all positive. But I understand, because last year sucked and the year before was rough when Aaron got hurt, and You know, Mike and Aaron did a lot of really good things together, and it's been that way for you know, it was that way for a long, long time, and change is always a little jolting.
Talking with Mike Silver of NFL Network, NFL.com here about his article about the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur moving forward on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike, I thought it was also interesting in the conversation and in the article you had written about somewhat of an ambiguous situation where coaching and coaching prospects didn't know exactly how to feel about the situation because of what you just laid out in Aaron's previous success, how you're able to then be able to quantify how much better you're able to make him as a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, he's pretty good. I know it was a rough year, but I've heard people say he had a bad year. He might not have had his best year, but he did some things last year, I thought, that what I saw, where, you know, with an injury where he still looked transcendent and different than almost anyone I've ever seen. So I think it's still there. I think it's, you know, the idea that, hey, let's not make him have to do everything himself and let's have a scheme that takes some of the pressure off of him but still allows him to, you know, do his thing. Like, that sounds really, really good to me. And I just think change is good. And that's one thing Aaron, you know, said to me. I said, you know, it's kind of a kick in the butt just to have change. Is it fun? And he said, yeah, it really is fun. He said, it's a lot, you know, learning a new language, having to translate it in my head at the line, you know, adjusting to Matt as a person, trying to get to know him, trying to get him to loosen up, trying to get him to understand my dry sense of humor, you know, all that. It is a lot, but I think sometimes, you know, we get in these modes professionally where, you know, it's nice to get out of your comfort zone. I mean, I know as a writer most of my career when I started doing more TV, I didn't feel like I was really, you know, adept at it on the air. I was just kind of figuring it out, but it was exciting to me. I liked just having it be different. And so I think, you know, that part could be really cool too. You know, in Matt's case, it's just a much, you know, different role. And remember, he only called plays once, and that was last season in Tennessee under much more adverse conditions. But I'll tell you this, you know, if you're going to be a first-time NFL head coach and play caller and you're coming to Green Bay and you've got Aaron Rodgers hopefully for a while, that's a pretty good opportunity. And, you know, it's the only place I know in professional sports where you win one championship, you're going to be driving to work on a street named after you. That's pretty exciting.
No, that is true. Mike, what's your read on Matt LaFleur and what kind of coach he really is? Have you had a chance to talk to him and just to see what he's all about?
You know, he's a guy who, you know, likes to have fun and has a really good personality, but I don't know how much it's going to come out in the workplace early on because he is super, super detailed and kind of a worrier, you know, okay, well, here's the play. This play should work. Well, what if they do this? But what if that happens? Well, what if this guy doesn't do this and wants to have the contingencies worked out? And he wants, you know, he wants the people around him to be detailed and to be on it. And he can, you know, he can be very, very strong-willed and emphatic, and I think he's going to be okay doing that. You know, it's the only bad thing about the job, in my opinion, this specific Packer job, is it comes with a high standard and a lot of pressure, and understandably so. But, you know, I hope he gets off to a good start, and, you know, it goes smoothly early, and I think you'll see him loosen up a lot more. And honestly, knowing Mike and Matt both and liking both guys, I think Matt will, you know, potentially let his guard down a lot more than Mike, you know, in the media and those types of things. I think you'll see the real person come out hopefully pretty soon.
I can imagine if you would have asked Aaron, what do you think about your head coach getting hurt playing basketball, his raw answer would have been, I don't know if you got a chance to discuss that or not, but I really want to know what was his thinking, because this is new for him. He's not seeing a guy 39 years old playing basketball and riding around on a cart. I just want to know, what does he think?
You don't think Mike was running those knockout games?
No.
No. Not at all.
Let me just say this, because like when I tweeted the thing about Matt, and you know it got a lot of attention that one morning, and wasteland of humanity, and I detest it, even though I recognize its importance for work purposes, and I have some fun on it. But I was kind of struck, because I expected a lot of people to, you know, kind of be cool, and there were some people who were like, you know, reasonably respectful, but then there was this insane outpouring of, ha ha, what an idiot, oh my God. And I started noticing a pattern, and that is that the people clowning him or thinking that somehow it was a sign that he, you know, wasn't a good athlete, or like, they were all under the age of 35. They were and everyone like 35 and older was kind of like, oh man, that happened to me, or oh, I know a guy that, oh, hang in there, coach. That's right, because when you're under 35, you don't get it. Ha ha ha, laugh now, because it's coming for you. You might be, you know, backpedaling on the flag football field, coaching kids, and you might pop your Achilles too. I mean, no, but seriously, it's one of those things where I don't think people who aren't young are judging, but for whatever reason, in our young people haven't figured that out yet.
Well, Michael, as a young person, that didn't make a couple of jokes. Thanks. I'm gonna think back now when I drop back in coverage as a middle linebacker in flag football.
There you go. I mean, you know, I just listen, man. When I heard he was playing knockout, in and of itself, I was excited. I was like, I could get back out on the court. But then you think about it, and you're like, yeah, scooters are kind of a pain in the butt. I like walking.
See, Leroy, it was good. Everybody wants to get out there and play a little basketball, feel
yeah,
active, no, feel
I've
good.
I've never even heard of knockout.
I'm told they don't call it knockout in Wisconsin.
Usually it's lightning in Wisconsin.
Yes, I now, okay, I've now been.
You guys are bored. Just stick to horse. It's safer.
Do you call it pop, though? Do you call, you know, soft drinks? Soda, pop.
Michael, appreciate the insight. We'll talk soon. NFL Network and NFL.com. Read along. One of the best in the business, Mike Silver on Twitter. Appreciate the time, Michael.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Michael Silver from NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. That's a dude that covers the NFL as good as anybody and as long as anybody. And Leroy, I mean, you can attest to this. He gets the access because dudes trust him.
He gets the access. And again, I think when you're trying to, and this is all, like Gary said, coming off of the Tyler Dunn thing, how do you want to attack this? And the way he did it, I thought, was brilliant, only because it showed the beginning of how this relationship, if it ever goes bad, you can point to this. If it ever goes good, you can point to this. If it just kind of is stale, you can point to this. And that was Gary's point yesterday. Not hoping that Aaron Rodgers just flames out. No. I don't want to speak for you.
No, you're right.
But it's the roadmap to, if something happened, if it's a,
you have evidence.
Something that Troy Aikman went through when he got his first, what, they were 1-15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed back to certain things in that season for him winning his third Super Bowl. And it's stuff like, how do you, because I would really want to know this, Steve. What did Aaron, when he got the phone call, say, yo, the head coach just tore his Achilles playing back, what do you
You probably laughed.
You probably laughed.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I laughed.
Yeah, I laughed.
I thought it was. I was like, okay, all right.
I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh.
That's because you're a better person than me.
No,
I know that.
Because I'm used to head coaches looking a certain way. Like when I coached with Gary, when I went there and all of his assistant coaches, they had their demeanors. Like brother-in-law, the quarterback's office coordinator, the guy smiled three times the whole season.
See, now that's supposed to be the defensive coordinator.
Now he just folded his arm and he was. You knew who he was. The other coaches. Back, you know, we laugh and joke a little bit.
You're talking about Doug.
Doug, right. I don't know if we want to say his
Doug name. Doesn't mess around.
Talk about Doug. No, Doug.
I love him.
Yeah, but.
But he's just because he wants his quarterback to know, I'm not messing around, okay? So don't you be out there messing around chasing stuff. You know how the games kids play. Yeah. Don't you do that. And it worked. But I'm thinking my vision of a new head coach would be just chilling, not playing knockout. And I think that's what Aaron probably said. Man, I don't believe this. You really?
Oh, there was some head shaking going on. I will.
But in a funny way,
no doubt.
It could be a lot of memes. Though, they have in
the, there could be so many good memes.
Oh, they,
so
I don't know if they put him
we
up in.
We need to get that video. There needs to be that video out
it
there.
It should be a big sign of him.
But you know there is one.
Right.
Because they got cameras in that place.
Which one would you rather not see? The Matt LaFleur video or the Robert Kraft video?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Robert Kraft, because I don't want to see that.
You can just go to Wendy's and forget about all that nonsense.
That's absolutely right. Hey, Mom and Dad, it's dear time. You've worked overtime.
How's it going, baby, Taji?
So you have no time, and that doesn't mean you have to cut corners. Wendy's Quality Kids Meals have everything you kids like for just $1.99 after 4 o'clock. So a little bit later on this afternoon, if you're in a hurry to maybe get your kid to a game or something, try and figure out how you're going to feed them, that's your answer. $1.99 kids meals at Wendy's after 4 o'clock at participating Wendy's for a limited time. And don't forget, your favorite Made to Crave menu just got an upgrade, a chicken upgrade. That's when you thought the Made to Crave menu couldn't get any more delicious.
I like that barbecue, Steve.
Me too. Wendy's has a full lineup of awesome chicken sandwiches joining the ranks. Introducing the avocado BLT sandwich, the sausage bacon chicken sandwich, and the barbecue chicken sandwich. Three bold choices packed with flavor. So why settle for basic when you can upgrade with the fresh, never frozen beef or tasty premium chicken? Go ahead and satisfy those cravings with any one of Wendy's epic choices.
Aaron Rodgers is probably the most polarizing figure in Wisconsin sports talk radio. I think Chris Middleton comes in as a close number two. We'll get into a little bit of Chris Middleton conversation here coming up in this first hour. Nice. Also some Madison Bumgarner. Here's some more conversation about the Milwaukee Brewers because everybody's freaking out. Calm down. Bayview Shane Blind postgame show will help you do that tonight after the Brewers take on the San Diego Padres. Right now, Wendy's Big Show till 6 o'clock. Fully loaded. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Sparky, Baby Tausch here till 6 o'clock on The Fan. Show on The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, C. Sparky Pfeiffer hanging out, the inventor of the Lambo Leap, Leroy Butler.
And that guy
in here.
I was talking about, that's one of my good friends. And he's.
Well, he's Sparky just, was talking about how just, crazy.
I don't get it, man.
Brewers Twitter got last night.
The DMs were going crazy, too. Like, I'm like, why are you DMing me? Listen, at the end of the day, I was telling Billy that, a good friend of mine, I said, but they're still in first place. Oh, that tick. Steve, that made him upset. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wait,
They aren't first place.
No, don't you look at it like that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm saying, hey, man, just take it easy. You think they wanted to lose 2-0 to the, I mean.
It's only the third time they've been shut out all year.
How can you give up a home run to Machado? That's the biggest, worst player. I say,
believe they were shut out 3 times in the first month of last year's season. But, you know, it'll be all right. It'll be all right, everybody.
Well, you better call Tim or somebody to talk to these people.
No doubt. I want you guys just to remember this. As the Brewers take on the Padres tonight, Brandon Woodruff on the mound. That's a good start.
There's another ace.
And if the Brewers win the next 2 games in San Diego, they will finish this West Coast road trip 4-4. Mm-hmm. 500. Just what you got to do on the road. It'll be okay.
I'm all right with that.
It'll be okay. They're doing good. They're right where they need to be.
How can they not go get all this pitching? Let's hold on to that till 4 o'clock.
Hold on to that till 4 o'clock because it's going to get dicey at 4 o'clock.
I'm just
going to
block him
until
they win like 5 in a row or something.
Why are you blocking people?
Because the frustration, Gary. I can't.
The frustration is a little bit outrageous.
Not, the team is frustrating. I get that. I do get that. I understand.
I think it's the West Coast, though. I think the West Coast games make you uneasy as a fan. One, the game doesn't start until 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you got to stay up to watch
it. I'm ornery. I already fell asleep 3 times on the couch trying to make sure that I'm staying awake for the dang game.
It's okay. Yeah.
And here it's the 4th inning. You're down 2-0. You're like, this team stinks. I'm done. I'm going to bed. Over. And then you miss Ryan Braun with a beautiful catch in the 6th inning. How about that?
They never even saw
Nobody cares.
What?
Nobody cares that they miss Braun making a catch in the 6th inning.
No, that's not an issue.
Nobody cares.
Well, I saw it.
I cared.
Nobody.
I saw him make the catch.
All they care about is his glove.
Of course, he's that
talented. I thought the one kid that swept over the top of him grabbed it. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No.
They got shut out by a crappy team. They came off losing 2 out of 3 to another crappy team. They don't really care about a defensive play at this point. They don't really care.
At the bottom line.
You didn't score a single run last night. That's what they care about.
That, kid had it working.
And the crazy part about it is, if you listen to Chuck and Winkler this morning, they weren't even talking about the hitting necessarily. They were talking about the pitching that was making them mad.
Hey, man,
and they
only gave up 2 runs. It did a good job. And Peralta getting out of the bases loaded.
Yep, got the ground
pitching,
ball.
The pitching wasn't the problem.
And Freddie Peralta now maybe can stick in the bullpen, and everybody can be okay with that, right?
No.
No?
Good try, though.
But he looked good coming out of the bullpen.
He did it to poke at me.
We can all be all right with it. We can all be okay with it. Our best 13 arms on the team, all contributing at the major league level, just like Corbin Burns.
You don't have 13 best arms. You have...
Eight, nine best arms, maybe.
Yeah,
your 13 best arms. Yeah,
I don't think you really have 13.
Like if I get a new shirt that you know is from a hand-me-down, that new shirt. I got a new sweatshirt.
It's
over
new
there.
To me.
New to me.
Right.
Wasn't new to Gary Ellerson,
another
but it's new to me.
Trash.
Well, I gave you some new
treasure.
Stuff though the other day.
So it works out perfectly. Yes, sir.
Oh,
these Brewers are going to be okay.
You're not one of those people. You're not one of those people that buy stuff and then leave it hanging in their closet and never even put it on.
Never even put it on. Tag still on. It wasn't baby time.
No, that was black Gary people is, do. They take it back. They keep the tag
normally,
on.
Yes,
take
yeah,
it
I would
back.
Take
normally
it back.
Normally do.
I appreciate you taking it back to the foundation.
Gary's going
to
take it back.
Schmidt,
there
though.
You go. He's going to take it back.
I do it all the time, though.
Shirt smells like Old Spice.
No, but I do it all the time, though. I do it all the time. Leroy came and snapped one out of my shirt one time. Dude, take the tag off my shirt.
He's going to take it back. It's yours now. You pop that tag, it's yours.
Take the tag off.
Can't bring it back now. I wore it like
3 times. I haven't washed it yet. Still got the tag on. I might take it back.
Take the tag and put it in your hands. Ma'am, it fell off. I have no idea what happened.
I really apologize.
But it smells like fruit from Fabergé.
2 or 3 times.
Yeah. Steve, you ever done that?
Never.
Wore it?
Never?
Did you leave the tag on it?
Never, not once in my life.
That's what rich people don't do that.
See, I always wanted to do it
rich
with
people.
Like,
rich people
buy stuff and don't wear it. Poor people buy stuff and wear it until there's a hole in it.
They wear it, but if somebody tells them they look good in it, they're going to wear it all the time.
Every day.
I think these jeans I'm wearing are like 10 or 12 years old, so I'm not one to like buy
stuff
and not wear it.
I'm the same boat with that. Because my belt loops bust off, because I'm a large human being, so like I have to pull up my pants every once in a while. So I bust the belt loops off. I got like 3-4 pair of jeans that I've had for like 5-6 years. Every one belt loops just busted right off.
Sure,
and
I saw a kid
walking down the street in Milwaukee, had no belt on. His everything was almost... exposed. It was so embarrassing. I'm like, why do people wear their pants like that? All these jitterbugs, call them young kids. I mean, his pants are down to his thighs. I'm like, is that what is going on?
They've been doing that since what?
Pull your pants up, man.
Yeah, I wish I could help you out there.
Put a belt on. Breaking news, girls don't like that. I'm just letting you know. Guys.
See, there was like a span for like 2.5-3 years that girls thought it was cool.
Yeah, they were.
Girls thought it was cool.
Yeah, I know about
that. Nah, none of my kids liked it. And I got 6 kids, daughters.
Your daughter
do
not
like that. You can do a small group, focus group, right?
Absolutely not.
Katie went through a stage.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Well, I wish we would have put it on air. I don't believe. Now, you got to dress accordingly.
All girls go through that stage with guys like that.
If you meet my daddy, and that's what's coming out of their mouth, you better look accordingly.
Wow. I'm just telling you.
And you better bring a little sheet with your credit rating on it because he's going to ask.
But Leroy, though, how about the guy that was in between jobs, though?
I don't want them in my house.
Oh, yeah, because there's always that one.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, he just.
You just don't know. When you got girls.
Yeah, I don't want them.
I'm still looking.
You got girls, you just don't know.
You can stay outside.
What was your line? I'm in between jobs. What'd you say? Do you remember what you said?
I don't remember.
That was so funny to me.
Because I don't remember, man.
Do you remember that line you said? The guy said, I'm in between jobs.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember what I said.
You get what you said. Well, it cracked me up.
Something like I'm in between bake statements or something like that. It's like in that Guess Who movie, right? With Bernie Mac, when Ashton Kutcher comes and meets the family.
Oh,
The white dude comes into the family.
Yes.
And
Guess who's coming to dinner or something
like
that?
Yeah, it tells him that he's still got a real nice job with a financial group. He's sitting here, he's like, I could really loan some money because I did kind of just get fired. But you know what? It's all good. We'll bring that up next week. Some guy that's not going to need any lines of credit soon enough is going to be Chris Middleton. And Jordan Brenner at The Athletic might have just blown the roof off of it. Get to that next on the Wendy's Big Show. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Turn it up.
Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Betty Tausch, Anthony Mandel on the other side, taking your reaction, your phone calls here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Sparky, now you did the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show all year long. Was there a more divisive, more polarizing figure than Chris Middleton on the Milwaukee Bucks at all year long?
No, because everybody's been talking about free agency and how much he's going to command in free agency. And that max number, over $30 million a year, whatever the case may be, and everybody arguing one way or the other that either he deserves it or he doesn't deserve it. And that's been, I mean, all year. Chuck and Winkler show, Bill Michaels show, mm-hmm. Big show, this show. It's always been a lightning rod. We had a fan appreciation night, one post-game show for Chris Middleton, where I said you can only say good things about Chris Middleton. So call in and say good things about Chris Middleton
tonight.
That's
nice.
That's all it was. And when we did it,
you more think people it was, like that.
Mandela, you were working that night, weren't you?
Yep.
Yep. And Anthony Mandela looked at me and he said, yeah, this is not a good idea. We're not going to get anybody called. Nobody's going to give. No, this is not going to go well. And it did. It actually went really well. Everybody was sincere and it wasn't a bunch of snarky, smart aleck remarks. It was actually all really good comments. So, I mean, there are people out there that enjoy Chris Middleton, that like Chris Middleton. People are hung up on the number they're going to pay him in fear. That's going to hurt what else they can put on the roster for the amount of money they're paying Chris Middleton.
And I'll say somewhat shame on us. I know I saw the article in over the weekend of Chris Middleton by the JS Online, I believe it was, with his child being birthed during Game 4. It was a story that really never
like
came
four
out.
4 minutes to go. The game was pretty much over.
Went into labor 2 months
took
early.
Lazarus plane, yep.
And right, and the organization supports him to be there for the birth of his daughter, and he was going through all that while the Bucks are in the midst of one of their largest playoff runs in team history. The year before, he was, what did Mark Lazary say, unearthly sick or something like that?
Oh, he was in bad shape, but nobody knew.
He was getting pus drained from his throat in between games so he could play.
He was in real bad shape.
And now Chris Middleton's going to hit the open market as he declines his $14.1 million player option. And Jordan Brenner of The Athletic writing today, talking about teams that are possibly going to lose their star players in free agency. The Bucks is Chris Middleton as a reigning all-star, and he says every move the Bucks make is geared towards one goal, keeping Giannis happy. He'll be a free agent in 2021, and the Bucks need to prove that they are fully committed to keeping championship level around him. That means doing whatever it takes to keep Chris Middleton a part of the Milwaukee Bucks to a point where multiple executives expect him to receive a max deal or something near an amount. Now, Jordan then quotes an NBA executive from the Western Conference says, he's going back. What I hear, he'll get a fifth year, but it'll take a little less money at the beginning. It won't be the max, but it'll be close. Apparently, Chris Middleton is being open and honest with folks, Gary, in saying that he's coming back to Milwaukee, and it appears that they have a deal locked and loaded and ready to go for Chris Middleton. Does that make you happy as a Bucks fan?
Yeah, I want to see everybody come back as much as they can. Bring that team back. Let's see what we can do. Now, you'd like to see them if they can add a shooter or someone develops into a shooter. They need a bona fide three-point shooter real bad on this team. I don't know how you get them. I don't know who develops into that. Maybe DiVincenzo. Maybe he's that guy. I mean, I don't know. But that's what they need to go on this team. I run that same team back on the floor. Mm-hmm. Listen, they'll have to play Toronto again if your boy stays. And I don't know where he's going to go. Kawhi, I mean, no one said anything about him. But if he stays, it'll be, you know, really Toronto again in the East.
And Kawhi is making it known that he has an idea. He knows where he wants to go. He's taken 5 visits, and that's it. 5 meetings, and that's it. He's turning down teams that he already knows he doesn't want to go to. So he's got a plan. Sparky, it appears Chris Middleton has a plan, and it appears the Milwaukee Bucks have a plan. Now, the projected max deal that Chris Middleton could make is somewhere around 5 years, $190 million. It appears that he's going to, if this NBA executive is correct, take a little bit less money in the beginning, backload that contract maybe a little bit so that they can keep the Brooke Lopez's and the George Hills here at this point in time. But somewhere near the max. Does that make you happy as a Bucks fan and the host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show?
No, but they don't have a choice. They just don't. If you continue to read this Athletic piece, they talk about if they don't get Middleton, right? Mm-hmm. What if this executive is wrong and they don't get Middleton? Then they talk about what then are their options as far as how much money they'll have under the cap and all this other stuff. And then it says the Bucks could also try to make a play for a big-ticket free agent. Tobias Harris would make sense next to Giannis. But as a league source says, quote, the question is, who wants to play in Milwaukee? End quote.
Ooh, what? That's still a thing?
Still a thing, apparently.
Of course it's still a thing. Well, it's still Milwaukee.
So then it goes on. If the Bucks were to shift away from Mirotić and Lopez, they could focus on adding wings. As a former GM quote, I think they can use that $26 million effectively. Maybe you can translate it into two second-tier guys. Ariza wouldn't be a bad call, and they could go after Bojan Bogdanovic as well. Listen, that's why you had a sign. That's it. If that is true, and they know it, then they're not getting anybody to come here and play, then you have no choice. You got to sign him because then you're going to take steps down in order to get an old guy like Trevor Ariza in here that's been around forever. Bogdanovic, he's not Chris Middleton, sorry. I mean, I know people in this town like
nice
Bogdanovic.
Nice player, but that's it.
No, I'll take Middleton. So, you know, you just don't have a choice. You got to pay him. And if they believe that he could get that money elsewhere and this keeps Middleton happy and it keeps him from going on the open market and talking to a Lakers or talking to somebody else, then you got to do what you got to do. So I'm not overly surprised. We've been saying that we pretty much believe that he was going to come back. And then who was it? Roy Henning, the owner of Great Lakes Dragway, said that on Twitter that he had heard that Middleton just bought a new house in the Milwaukee area or whatever. So, yeah, all sides pointed towards him staying. So if this Western Conference executive is correct, coming back at $30-plus million a year, whatever it is, not all that surprising or shocking. And when you read stuff like who wants to play in Milwaukee still, they had no choice.
Bucks fans, we want your reaction on this 414-799-1250. Does that make you happy? Chris Middleton allegedly telling teams that he's re-signing with the Bucks. This one Western Conference executive tells Jordan Brenner of The Athletic that it's all but a done deal.
Well, it may not be him telling teams. It may be people in their front office. Bucks front office could be his agent. Who knows? I doubt it's Middleton, but it could be anybody within his camp or the Bucks camp.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com, where you can react to this, Twitter at 1057FMTheFan as well. We'll get Leroy Butler's reaction as well as yours. You should be happy. Chris Middleton, all-star, back with the Bucks. Weren't you excited when... Okay, never mind, I'm not going to use that. That was a bad suggestion. I was going to say, weren't you happy when Michael Redd signed that long-term deal? Weren't you happy when Drew...
Yeah, he was. He's the best player.
I probably shouldn't say you were happy when Drew Gooden made that contract. What about John Salmons, right? You were happy when John... Oh, probably not.
Where would you have been if Redd would have left?
Larry Sanders deal. Hated that.
Keep going.
Don't worry, man. I got a lot of ammo in this gun. Weren't you excited when Bobby Simmons... Oh, wait, no. Not the 3-year, $21
million? Furious.
Oh, Dan Gazzarich, best big man they had with them, right?
Yeah.
No, Dan Gazzarich. Who they should have paid.
There you go.
Who they should have paid.
We got to get to a break. You got to talk about Pella Windows.
Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. Best windows and doors out there, guys. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process right now, folks. They are offering 0% down. 0% finance for 18 months, folks. That's no payment until June of 2020, guys. The best deal. No one has it. Offering 0% down. 0% financing for 18 months, no payments until June of 2020. Roy Lee, how can they get a hold of them?
Go to PellaWI.com today. Someone is there ready to chat with you to get the process started. Don't worry about the weather. These guys work inside. I mean, the deal is amazing. Gary just talked about it. You can give them a call now, 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Tell them Leroy Butler and Gary Ellison sent you.
Quote, he's going back. What I hear is he'll get a fifth year, but take a little less at the beginning. It won't be the max, but it'll be close. Apparently, Chris Middleton on his way back to the Milwaukee Bucks, according to The Athletic's Jordan Brenner. 414-799-1250 Bucks fans. Does this make you happy? It should, right? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day. Getting to our Judgment Day question of the day coming up at 3 o'clock. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer dropped this one on us earlier today. In response to the Michael Silver piece was written yesterday about Aaron Rodgers, also about the man that I'm wearing today, number 4, Brett Favre. I got the old school Jets jersey on though today. This is like my favorite. This is one of my favorite throwback jerseys to rock.
Was allowed to walk in his building with that damn jersey on anyway.
With the Brett Favre Jets jersey on?
I threw up in my mouth and re-swallowed it.
Don't you ever wear that jersey ever again.
9-6-1, man.
It looks good on you.
Don't wear that jersey ever again.
It is kind of just because I can fit into it a little bit more.
Where'd you find that? What clearance rack you found?
Kidding me? You know this was on order. That night.
I wasn't even going to nod that you had that jersey on.
Woke up at 11:30 to order it the night he got traded, Leroy.
So you weren't a Packer fan? You were a Favre fan?
I was 1,000% both.
Can't be both.
I can't think. Back then, I don't think.
Why can't I cheer for Brett Favre?
I mean, he was a young kid back then. So
yeah, I was only 12, 13 years old.
But adults at that point weren't both. You were one or the other.
No, I didn't choose. I wasn't choosing sides. Now, when he went to the Minnesota Vikings, then I had to pick sides. And I stuck with the green and gold. I stuck with the G. I couldn't go with any purple.
Could you not wear that ever again, though, please?
The Jets one? I thought the Jets won. The game green is good.
Better. I mean, especially during Packer season. Don't bring that out, please.
Well, no, I won't bust it out during Packer season. But you don't like the throwback?
No. And that's not even a throwback.
Oh, it is, because the Jets have changed their jerseys like 97 times since then.
I'm talking about the Jets, man.
You worked with a guy that wore a lot of Jets jerseys. Give you flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Especially sitting right here. Gives you a lot of weird...
Well, not there. He wasn't there.
No, he was
in the old
around.
Studio.
But in the same position.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might throw it. Now that I know.
But that was
okay,
though. It was okay if he wore Jets stuff. That was okay.
Okay.
Because he was from New York.
Sure.
Right.
For me to wear a Jets jersey, not cool.
But for you.
You're a Packer fan.
Whitnall's finest.
Far Jets jersey.
Whitnall's. Whitnall's finest.
One of.
I can't believe you're doing that, dude.
Jets jersey on.
Yeah. Brett Favre, man. Number 4. Gunslinger. The dude. One of the best. I also have a couple of old school former Milwaukee Bucks, now turned New York Knicks jerseys from way back in the day. That was a long time ago that we don't want to get into. We kind of just unveiled a couple of those contracts that the Milwaukee Bucks did not sign. They also signed a bunch, and Sparky, it appears, they're going to sign another one. Chris Middleton, near max deal, fifth year, according to Jordan Brenner of The Athletic, saying one NBA executive has told him that he's telling teams he's coming back. And you should be what as a Bucks fan?
I'm excited, I guess.
Yeah, there it is. We want to hear that. Come on.
People on Twitter definitely excited. And then there are people definitely mad, and I am neither. I'm not happy and I'm not mad. I think because I expected this outcome for quite a while to be the way that it is, it's kind of like, okay, here we go. Get ready. Because now you know what's going to happen. You know what's coming, right? For the next 5 years, you know what sports talk radio is going to be like? Every time that dude doesn't have a good night, it's going to be, see, I told you it was a waste of $30-plus million a year.
Yep.
Every time he chokes and doesn't do something good in a playoff game, that number is going to get brought up. He's not in a win-win situation with his fan base right now. Tell you that right now. Nope. He is going to be the villain of this organization for the next 5 years if he doesn't produce at a high level. Not at the level he's producing at, because that's not been good enough for this fan base. He's got to go up a level in order to get this fan base off his back.
414-799-1250.
It's not fair, Leroy. I'm not saying it's fair. I heard
it's
you over there.
It's just one of the most... I don't even have a word for that kind of fan base. It's
every fan base.
Short-sighted?
Just, we're talking about ours just now. I don't, not everybody.
Yes, Bucks fan base. Yeah.
It's just silly to me. It really is. It's just silly. It's just one of... It's not an all-star...
But he is an all-star, though.
Yeah, but people, and then we'll pay him, but it's a but.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Come on, man, stop it. I just don't. They can learn something from the Packer organization. You know, the Bucks, if you're in that jersey, we respect you. We don't. Come on. You want a team.
Not unless you go to the Jets.
You want. Yeah, good point.
You want everybody to succeed.
You want everybody to succeed. If you don't want the team back from having the number one across the board, then, I mean, you should just – I'm just shocked right now. You don't know how good you had it until that person is gone. Just like you don't know how good your girlfriend is right now. You're taking her for granted and doing all kind of crazy stuff. But when she's gone and got another guy posted on Instagram looking good.
New haircut.
You're getting bitter. But treat her right now.
Okay.
You got to wait for her to leave for you to realize that
for you
maybe leave. You was a bad person? Stop it. I just don't get. Chris Middleton is in a catch 22. He can average 35 points, but they ain't going to like the way he put up the 35.
Sure. Yeah, because of how the team did in the game.
It's just, I just don't get it. To where now you, 1 year, you've earned the right to not want a guy to average almost 18 points a game. We're just that good now. We don't even want a guy like this. They want to come in and pay somebody else that has nothing laid, no foundation with the team. This guy's laid foundation to the team.
No, they'd rather have Kawhi.
Worked this way. All of us rather have Kawhi.
Right, but that's where Bucks fans are. By doing
Bucks
this,
Bucks fans need to be realistic.
Okay.
It ain't going to happen.
Oh, okay, fine. Then that's your point of view. But I'm telling you, from a Bucks fan perspective, is if you're going to spend all this money, then I want a max level type player. Not a, well, we're Milwaukee, so we have to overspend.
I hope he leaves.
That's
he
what
leave.
It is.
Hey, Chris,
so this
man,
is...
go to Atlanta and get a max deal. Don't come here. They don't appreciate you.
So
man.
A lot of this you believe is that Bucks fans are still upset that there's a Milwaukee tax.
I want to leave.
It's petty.
I don't know if it's necessarily a Milwaukee tax necessarily, because I think Milton could get max money elsewhere.
Yeah, he needs to go somewhere else.
They want another elite player.
Who is they?
Bucks fans.
Yeah.
That can play with Giannis, similar to LeBron and Anthony Davis, what they just put together. Chris Paul and James Harden. Now, they haven't won, Jack, but those two together over there. Kyrie and whoever ends up going to Brooklyn with Kyrie. There are going to be two stars in Brooklyn matched up together. That's what they're kind of envisioning of what they want. They want a player at a bigger level than Chris Middleton. But the one thing that you kind of learned this year, and I don't know if it's a blip on the radar or if it's going to be reality going forward, is Toronto didn't have another superstar with Kawhi Leonard. They did it with one guy and a good supporting cast. But can you win that way consistently in the NBA, or will there be more super teams built?
Well, you don't know.
As of right now, there aren't any for the upcoming season because Klay is hurt and there is no Durant. So for the upcoming season, there is no super teams as of right now today. So maybe you can do it for this year.
Well, the Lakers are starting to do something.
If they get a third, then there'll be one. But as of right now, so if they get a third, then they can be a super team. Well, he is right now.
It's cool.
He is the third right now.
Yeah, they don't need to go stretch the end.
But if they get Kemba to come on a discount,
sure.
Okay, now you've got a super team.
Right. 414-799-1250. Bucks fans, are you happy? Chris Middleton apparently telling teams, or his camp apparently telling teams, he's got a deal with Milwaukee. 414-799-1250. Close to max money. Not max money, but close to.
5 years.
Mike's on the south side of Milwaukee. 5 years close to max money for Chris Middleton. Are you happy?
No, I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to get Kemba Walker all along. I really did. And kind of, you know, when I heard that he wanted to go back to Charlotte, I was disappointed. Obviously, they're two different players. Middleton's a swing man. Kemba Walker's strictly a guard, but I think they needed somebody that can shoot lights out from the outside. And Middleton is so streaky. When he's on, he's on. But when he's off, he stinks. And here's the thing that kind of scares me the most. They're talking about bringing back all the same guys, trying to re-sign everybody to bring back the same team. If Kawhi stays with Toronto and we don't change any of our personnel, who's to say we're going to get past them next year?
Giannis has to get better.
That's you nailed it, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. You nailed it. And it's like, that's the $6 million question. Can Giannis get better? And if he doesn't, we're pretty much back in the same thing. I enjoyed the year. I thought it was a great year. But if they bring everybody back and Kawhi stays in Toronto, you're pretty much facing the same thing.
Appreciate the call, Mike.
But again, man, Toronto got shooters, okay? They got Van Vliet, him and Powell. Those
they also had historic performances from some of those shooters in Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah, and Lowry. Those guys stepped up. Those are guys that you really don't count on. You can get shooters like that. I mean, Milwaukee had a perfect team. I mean, that was a perfect storm losing four straight. I don't think that'll ever happen again. Well, then I take that back. Anything can happen. But you got to try to bring this team back. And Chris Middleton is a big part of that, whether you like him or not. But this young man started out with saying, no, don't bring him. They don't want him. They're not happy if he's coming back. Fine. Then do like what the Lakers did. Trade all these pieces and go try to get you a Kawhi Leonard. Just take it. They're already trying to trade the 30th pick, and you guys will be at the Q Club on Thursday, right?
Yes, sir. Q Club, yeah, Wisconsin. Q Club. So will the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6, and then we'll be there 6 to 10:30.
Four different types of fish. I like them all myself. But I'll say this. If you're trying to put this thing together, people are going to do what the Lakers are going to do. And that's what the fans want. They want you to gut out this team to win now. They're not trying to win 3 years from now, 4 years. No. And everybody's stuck on the fifth year. If he gets a fifth year, higher structure. Nope, fans don't want that. They want a Horace, who got a three-year deal, by the way. Congratulations to him. Trade everything possible to go out and get another max guy that has better name recognition than Chris Middleton.
But
if you don't do that, I'm turning my Bucks Fear the Deer shirt inside and out, and I'm going to fold my arms, and I'm going to just be mad. Stop it.
There's a major reason why you can't be mad. And I think Jordan Brenner hit on it, and I think it's the underlying issue that Bucks fans have with this. We got to get to a sports flash. We'll talk about this more. 414-799-1250 after the break. Yeah, Chris Middleton allegedly telling teams that he's going to re-sign with the Bucks.
We'll change your shirt in the break.
Western Conference exec. I'm keeping this thing on all day long.
Mandela, where's that jacket that he's no one going wears back. Everybody wears? He has to put
what
that
I
on.
Hear, he's going to get a fifth year, but it'll take a little less at the beginning. It won't be the max, but it'll be close for Chris Middleton. 414-799-1250, Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and LaVoie Judgment Day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.